This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 221, Grace Teaches Us to Live Godly Soberly. The spiritual appetizer we will use in this episode is from Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 15. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly, soberly. Read with me now, Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 15. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise your youth." And so, we see within this text that grace teaches us several things. It teaches us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And then it teaches us how to live soberly. Because God died for us. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived, he suffered, he bled, and he died. We need to learn from that grace that God has showed us how to live soberly. Well, what does soberly mean? It means self-controlled. It means watching. And we're going to look at some verses today that teach us what it means to live soberly and how grace teaches us to live soberly. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And let's read this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, remembering, before Paul became a Christian, he was a Pharisee that thought highly of himself. He would go into the house of Christians, and whether you were male or female, it did not matter. He would drag you out of that house and take you to Jerusalem to go to prison. He held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. He called those that were followers of Christ heretical. He called them blasphemers. And he thought that they were worthy of death. He thought very highly of himself as a Pharisee. "Look, I'm a leader of God's people. You need to be following me." Well, God stopped him on the road to Damascus and humbled him in a bright light that would blind him and send him to the road called Straight, where he would find Ananias the preacher. Paul humbled himself and was obedient to what the preacher told him that he needed to do. When the preacher came into him, he was praying. He had been praying for 3 days. And Ananias, in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, said, "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so this prideful man who was a Pharisee, who, according to Matthew chapter 23, would tell people how to live, but would not lift a finger to live that way themselves, was humbled. But instead of staying ignorant, instead of holding to that and saying, I'm not going to live the way that God wants me to live, he decided to live soberly and self-controlled. From that point forward, he would control how he would live. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, he says, For I say, through the grace given to me, that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Why would he tell them this? Because prior to this, that's how he perceived himself. But he learned through being humbled that he had to think soberly of himself, controlled about himself. He had to think soberly in the sense to be watchful so that he would know how to live. He would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the New King James, other than the King James, where the King James says study, the New King James says show diligence. The English Standard Version, or ESV, says to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Soberly, watching. You see, don't think of yourself more highly. You don't know everything that you need to know already, Timothy. You need to study. You need to show diligence. You need to do your best in order to show yourself approved to God. Paul would tell him this because he would have went through this, understanding before he became a Christian that he thought that he understood everything of how he ought to live. When he was blinded on the road to Damascus and sent to Ananias by Jesus, he then understood, look, I don't understand everything. I need to go to Ananias to learn. And so he learned how to think soberly, self-controlled, and to be watchful for God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and looking at verses 1 through 8, the Bible says, But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We find out how to be sober in this context. Within this context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. We put on the breastplate of faith because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by studying God's word. And we learn that it's in this that we learn how to be sober, self-controlled, and watchful for the return of Jesus. In verse 6, it says, Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. He uses sleep here in the context of one that is sleeping spiritually, has not studied, doesn't know that God is going to return. He shows this through the example of one that's a drunkard. If we read verses 1 through 4 again, But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. You understand that the Lord is going to return. I've taught you this before, and you know this. But there are some among you that are going to say peace and safety. God's not going to return. You're going to be okay. Verse 3, For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. When they're not looking for Christ, he's going to return. And so if you're not sober and watchful, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation, then this destruction is going to come upon you suddenly as a thief in the night. Verse 4, But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You have been brought out of darkness and into light by my teaching. I've taught you the word of God. You understand that these things are going to take place. So in verse 5, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We have been taught what is going to take place. we have been learning in the Word of God that we need to live a certain way. Matter of fact, he would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Look, I left you the Word of God. The Word of God has been given to you so you can know how to live. It's profitable for everything in your life. Therefore, because of this, watch and be sober because you know how you are to live. You're not in darkness. You're in the light. Therefore, being in the light, be watchful and sober. Be self-controlled and be looking, be aware of everything. Sober, as in not drunk, means that you have control of your faculties. Be watchful. Be in control of your life. And being in control of your life, this is how you do that. You put on faith as a breastplate that is going to protect you from everything, because you learn through faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, how to live. And you learn the promises that Jesus gave, that he's going to return, he's going to take his children home, and that is comforting. And so be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Let's look at some more verses. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, the word bishop here is used interchangeably for elders. So when the Bible talks about bishops, it's talking about the role of the eldership. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So desiring the leadership within a church. Now, you have to meet certain qualifications for this, which Timothy is going to be explained. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, be in control. Be in control of all of his faculties. Be watchful. How did we learn how soberness comes about? Through faith, love, and hope. And so a leader has to have these qualities, especially an elder. He has to have these qualities within him of good behavior, hospitable to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly. Grace teaches us to be sober, teaches us that we need to hold our leaders to a high standard given to us in the qualifications here. And that leader has to be sober. He has to be in control. Being sober is so important to a lot of the different qualifications given in this of good behavior. If you're not sober, you're not going to be of good behavior. If you're not sober-minded, you're not going to be hospitable or apt to teach. If you're not sober-minded, you're going to be given to wine. You're going to be violent. You're going to be greedy for money. You're not going to be gentle. You'll be quarrelsome, not covetousness. You're going to have covetousness in your life. You're going to have problems at home. You see how many of these qualifications are reliant on being sober-minded. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly, soberly. Grace teaches us to live soberly. It teaches us to live that way because God is going to come back. He is going to judge the world in righteousness. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. And the grace that has appeared to all men is Jesus Christ. He came to this world. He lived, he suffered, he bled, and he died for us. God did not have to do that. He could have left us without any way of fixing our sin problem. But through his unmerited favor, he sent his son to die for us. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his Son to us so that we can have everlasting life. We should not perish. But grace appearing to us has to teach us to live godly. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." And it's through faith, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, that we learn how to be sober. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly. If we learn what it means to live soberly, we're going to learn what it means that God sent his Son here to die for us. And through that, we have a responsibility to him to live the way that God desires for us to live. Turn with me now to Titus 2. And let's read verses 1 through 6. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." We need to learn what it means to be sober-minded, to be in control of our faculties, to be studied so that we know how God wants us to live, so that we can be in control and have control over our lives, over our bodies, to be watchful for God because he sent his Son into this world and showed us tremendous grace. Shouldn't we love him enough that we're sober-minded? Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly, soberly. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.